Now, the Buckeye Extra Podcast with Rob Aller, Bill Rabinowitz, and Joey Kaufman from the Columbus Dispatch.
Welcome to the Buckeye Extra Football Edition. I'm here with Bill Rabinowitz, who's a beat writer for the Dispatch, co-beat writer, and Joey Kaufman, who is our new co-beat writer. Joey, welcome.
Rob, thank you for having me.
Well, we're all one group here. Bill, how's it hanging?
This is a football podcast, right?
Yeah, this is a football podcast. I just
want our readers and listeners to learn about Joey.
Well, that's
so I want to defer to Joey as much as possible. Let's hear his story.
We will hear his story. But first, I took the bus in today, just so you know. I took the bus in.
Man of the people.
Man of the people. It's about public transportation, and that's what we're about here. We're transporting you listeners into Ohio State football. That's a pretty good segue, is it not, man? That's a pro move. All right, Joey Kaufman, tell me a little bit of your story. I'll just fill you a little bit in here. You were an intern, 5 years ago here. You're from SoCal, Southern California, and you covered the USC Trojans. Tell us a little bit about that experience, a little of your background, and maybe the difference between, you've only done Ohio State for a couple days here, between the vibe, the atmosphere, the environment, compared to, you know, the Trojans out there.
Well, again, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here. You are correct. I was an intern at the Dispatch in 2013. That was after Urban Meyer's first year, and they went 12-0. They couldn't play in the bowl game because of the NCAA sanctions and that sort of thing. USC, I think, is sort of a kindred spirit with Ohio State. There's always something going on. They're kind of a big-time program, kind of has full of highs, full of lows. My time covering the Trojans was from 2016. So that was Clay Helton's first season. They started 1-3. Then they put in Sam Darnold. The trajectory the program changes entirely. They go to a Rose Bowl and beat Penn State. Next year, they're supposed to go to the playoff. Didn't exactly happen. They win the Pac-12, but they miss out on the playoff. They meet Ohio State in the Cotton Bowl. They really got smacked around in that game. That wasn't really very competitive. Then they end up having to replace Sam Darnold next year, and then things really take a kind of a downturn. They go 5-7. First time they were under 500 since 2000, the year before Pete Carroll got there. So it was kind of a roller coaster ride there. There was always something going on. Of course, you had the college basketball bribery scandal in relation to the whole athletic department, and they were tied up recently in the college admissions scandal. So again, kind of kindred spirit with Ohio State. There's always something going on.
Yeah, it was an interesting offseason in Columbus, too, with Urban's health issues, with the coaching, the assistant coaching situation, the accusations of domestic abuse. It was a wild offseason, so yeah, kindred spirits for sure. As we get into this, want to kind of, you know, we're in spring ball. A lot happens and nothing happens in spring ball. It's a little of both. Right. I think it's a time when really the offensive and defensive lines can really kind of be shored up a little bit because they really get an opportunity to go at it, which they don't necessarily get to do that much intense detail during the regular season. So I'm going to start with Joey here, and three things that you've said. You're new on the scene, but if Ohio State positives, three things that may be good, three things that may not be good, and then we'll let Bill fill in the blanks after that.
Three positives that I see. I'll start with J.K. Dobbins. I think he's an interesting guy. If he becomes a feature back, gets 20 to 25 carries, kind of showed potential as a freshman. Now kind of the window's cleared for him. I think maybe he takes the next step, becomes more of a feature back. I think that's a potential positive that I see. I also see the creation of the bullet position. They've talked about that in spring practice under the new defensive coordinator, Greg Madison. You've seen in football nowadays kind of more of the hybrid type guys. You look at the NFL, Derwin James, kind of that safety linebacker role. He was kind of a breakout rookie for the LA Chargers. Last season in the way football's kind of gravitating you, so you're going to see modern offenses more and more in the Big Ten. Even Michigan's kind of going that way of all teams. So I think having that sort of position is important if you're going to be able to defend those spread teams, those RPO teams. And you saw last year in the game against Purdue runs kind of a modern offense under Jeff Brohm, and they gave him trouble. So I think that's something they're going to have to kind of adjust on defense. I think being flexible, having that sort of hybrid role is going to be important. Third point, I think Ryan Day has been impressive. What I've seen so far, it just seems kind of calm, relaxed, and in a lot of ways the Ohio State football program has been very good in recent years. They've had kind of some of the off-field distractions. Maybe you kind of remove that element, kind of have a more of a calming influence, and kind of can keep things kind of on the same trajectory. So he's been impressive to me.
Good. Before we move to the three real kind of question marks, we're going to take a break for a word from our sponsor. You have to stand behind a statement like the best buying experience in the business. Rosati Windows believes the right way to do business is really pretty simple. You have to be honest. You have to have integrity, and you have to care about what the customer is selling you and respond accordingly. Mike Rosati realizes that people have options when choosing replacement windows, which is why he trains all of his employees on the principle that the customer always comes first. Everyone who works at Rosati Windows cares about what they do and the product they put out, from sales through manufacturing to the installation and all the way down until when they peel that last piece of film off the window. They are not going to leave your home until everything is right. It's this sort of commitment that Rosati Windows can proudly stand behind a statement like, Rosati Windows is the best buying experience in the business. We're back, the Buckeye Extra Podcast, football edition. I'm Rob Oller here with Bill Rabinowitz and Joey Kaufman, two beat writers, Bill and Joey, and we had talked about three positives here, and we're going to move into three question marks. Joe, what do you see? Is it Joe or Joey, by the way? Where? What do you want to be known as?
Probably depends on how well you get to know me. I think it's Joe if we're kind of midnight at a bar, kind of a more endearing term. Joey, I think, is a little more kind of in the middle between Joseph and Joe.
Oh, wow. That's some detail there. Wow. I'm telling you.
We'll know how we stand with how we can.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Joseph. What's Joe? You're in trouble if it's Joseph.
It's like William. You know, William, that was never good.
Yeah, William, Robert, not good, not good. All right, so the three question marks that you've seen coming in so far in your limited experience, but sometimes that outside presence and those eyes that are kind of that third party can see things differently than when those on the inside. So what do you see?
Fresh eyes, as they say.
Fresh eyes.
I think you have to start with pass defense being a huge question mark. They're secondary, they were 86th in pass defense last season, and that's something that really has to get shored up. So that, to me, kind of is the biggest question going into the season, just the defense in general and that secondary especially. I think offensive line, that's another concern. You're replacing 4 out of 5 starters there, and maybe you feel comfortable with certain guys. Wyatt Davis, he started 2 games last year at guard, and I think he was impressive. I think you have Josh Myers. He's a guy who's highly rated recruit coming in, local kid from kind of the Dayton area. Was impressive. High school player, been good in the system. Maybe he's going to take the next step in the center role. But you don't have a lot of chemistry there. You're going to have Jonah Jackson, the Rutgers grad transfer, coming in. Maybe he fits, but he's not with the team in spring. You have some other freshmen you want to have compete for starting roles. Well, they're not here in spring. And I think you maybe lose out on some of the chemistry stuff. Third thing, I think, is Justin Fields, a quarterback. And granted, he's a very highly touted guy. I remember before I came out here, I was talking with Yogi Roth. He's one of the Elite 11 counselors, and he mentioned that Justin Fields is one of the best high school quarterbacks he had seen on that circuit, but he's still unproven. He barely played as a freshman at Georgia, and I just don't think you can take for granted replacing a record-setting quarterback. At USC, they were replacing Sam Darnold with JT Daniels. He was a really highly touted guy. He was in the 2017 class with Justin Fields. Wasn't as highly ranked as Fields, but similarly kind of ballyhooed guy. But he had ups and downs in his first year as a starter, so I don't think you can ever take for granted replacing a record-setting guy, even though you might be encouraged by what Justin Fields can do and the tools and all those things.
Yeah, very good, very good. Before we get to Bill, I think we did not cover this. Just when you were at SoCal down in LA, isn't it very more relaxed? Is the stereotype apply to just covering the team? It's just kind of this nonchalant, chill thing versus here it's very more structured? I think you were saying something about that. Can you talk about the two programs?
We did talk about that offline. You do see beat writers wearing sandals there, which is a little different than probably going to get.
We'll find that here.
That's here, shorts.
But I think it was just interesting watching the Ryan Day press conference versus what you'd see at Southern California. You have the SID kind of calls on people, kind of more of a formality to it, where this person's going to take the question. It's almost like you're kind of covering the White House, where someone kind of points to the person. It's your turn to take
it
the question.
Important here.
Just
well,
about.
We actually have press briefings.
Yeah,
that's that's good.
We're staying clear of that.
That's good. But at SC, you would typically have kind of a dozen people surround the coach and just kind of shout questions. And that's how it was under Clay Helton and Steve Sarkisian, Lane Kiffin, Pete Carroll, and even if you go back to the days of John McKay. John McKay was a legendary coach there in the 70s, and he would meet reporters afterward in a bar called Julie's near campus, and they would just talk shop with with John McKay, and he was kind of known for drawing up plays on a cocktail napkin. So that was kind of, I think, kind of the difference and contrast you'll see between the two programs from everything I've kind of gathered.
Yeah, we couldn't do that with Urban, Bill. I mean, Urban wouldn't be hanging out at Tommy's Pizza or wherever it might be.
Well, we tried to keep it a secret, Tim and I.
it was the three amigos, yeah. You, Tim, and Tim May, former Dispatch beat writer, and Urban, yeah. Chilling out. Hey, let's move on to your thoughts on
an old podcast where I didn't get to talk with Tim, but this is by design.
Yeah, we want you to feel comfortable, Bill.
Thanks.
All right, so your three, here's your chance. Your three positives and maybe three question marks, potential negatives going into, I guess, a spring game and where we currently are. What do you see?
Yeah, I mean, Joey covered it pretty well, I thought. I mean, I'll talk about Dobbins and say, okay, yeah, the door is open for him to walk through, but he only walked last year. He didn't run through it. And, you know, his yards per carry average dropped from 7.2, I think, to 4.6. So he has a lot to prove. And he's not going to be able to show it a whole lot in the spring. They're going to let other guys get more time.
Who are those guys? Just to jump in real quick. I mean, so people don't even
Master
know.
Master Teague the third.
Strong name.
Great name. Strong name. Bryant Sneed left the program. So he's the other freshman last year. So he's no longer there. You have DeMario McCall, who's missed spring, most of spring at least, with an injury. So he's a guy who's more of a change of pace back, but a talented guy. And you have Marcus Crowley, freshman who broke a lot of records in Florida. But it is going to be Dobbins. I mean, it's his chance to be the guy. And he shared it with Mike Weber the last 2 years, which worked out well for both of them. And both of them will tell you that it was is beneficial. But now it's going to be Dobbins' show, and he's got to prove he's up to it. I think he is. But when you have a drop from that, you know, 7.2 to 4.6, and he didn't mince words about his own fault in that. He talked earlier in spring, and it was on him. He got impatient. He was trying to hit home runs all the time. He's got to be more patient and take what the defense gives him. If there's a five-yard gain, get the five-yard gain. Don't try to dance around and go for the breakaway run. So that's one thing. The offensive line, I think, is a really good Joey hit on that. That's a concern. I think it has the potential to be as good or better a line than last year. I think the talent is certainly there, but it is a matter of the chemistry and the cohesion. You can't develop that now because Jonah Jackson will probably start at left guard, isn't here. Thayer Munford, the only returning starter, is out this spring with recovery from a back injury. So that's a little bit up in the air. The other thing is, of course, the defense, because it was the worst defense statistically in Ohio State history. Now, that's skewed a little bit because the offense was so prolific and scored so quickly that the defense had more possessions to have to defend. So, but the big plays that they continually gave up was just made people scratch their heads with good reason. So Greg Madison's come in. Really, the only returning coach is Larry Johnson on the defensive line. So how those guys mesh, how they get the defensive scheme to work, that's going to be really interesting. You've already heard some changes that they've made. They're going to use more zone coverage, which Ohio State's always their calling card has been press man-to-man coverage. That's what they've done. Now they're going to incorporate some zone into that. Defensive linemen are now being told, just get upfield. Don't worry about occupying blockers. Just go north-south. And so I think what we're hearing kind of between the lines is that they like this stuff. And it's a kind of an implicit criticism of the way they did things last year under Greg Schiano. So they know that things have to change.
Yeah, implicit or otherwise. I was talking to somebody last week, I think, that said, you know what, they're hearing that these guys are saying, you know, we just really prefer this kind of defense. Yeah. Especially on the defensive line, they're going to be cut loose, into the backfield, be aggressive.
Because remember last year, a lot of times the linebackers were almost with the linemen.
Right.
I mean, they were, you know, I joked they were line withers, not linebackers. And so when you had that, it was either you tackle the guy at the line of scrimmage, or he breaks a long gain. Well, that's not the way a fundamentally sound defense works. There's a reason that they're linebackers and they stay behind the line. And then the defensive line disrupts the play, hopefully makes the tackle, but the linebackers are there to clean up if they don't.
Yeah.
And last year, those guys, too often, were not there.
Right. You touched on something else that I find curious. Greg Madison brought in. Now, from Greg Madison's standpoint, he doubled his salary to like $1.1 million.
Right.
Why wouldn't you come? And he's co-defensive coordinator there at Michigan, D-line coach.
Right.
And I know that Ryan Day said he wanted more experience. He wanted, quote, older guys in there because he just thought that would be a good, that it would really mesh well with some younger coaches. I get all that. But, you know, this is a sport of ego to a certain extent. And Larry Johnson, who's sort of the grandfather of this defense, kind of the core guy, you know, maybe the best D-line coach in the country. I think it's always hard to say that you are the. Right. But Greg Madison has his own, you know, resume, very impressive. So how are they going to work together? Now, Larry is not a coordinator. He's like associate head coach. Is that right?
It's,
and you know
the
how these titles
right,
are.
Right, right.
So are you curious to watch just sort of how that plays out? I am.
A little bit. I think Greg Madison is going to be more of an overall guy. He's going to be Larry Johnson's clearly the coach of the line, and Greg Madison's got the overall defense. I think what's going to be interesting is how they mesh the front four with the back seven, because the back seven coaches are new, with Jeff Hafley and Matt Barnes back there and Al Washington coaching the linebackers. So it's going to be fascinating to see how those guys mesh.
Okay. Well, that's a good little start for what we have in store for you this season. We'll be back, we think, next week to talk the spring game. And thanks for being on the Buckeye Extra Podcast Football Edition. This is Rob Aller with Bill Rabinowitz and
Joey Kaufman.
See you next time.
Be sure and subscribe to the Buckeye Extra Podcast in the iTunes Store, the Google Play Store, or on Stitcher.